Good morning, folks. This is Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. I'm Nate. That's John.
Hey there.
How you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good. How's it going, Nate?
Good, good. Thought we'd mix it up a little bit this morning.
It's probably best I'm a little bit tired.
What?
This is probably best I'm a little bit tired this morning.
I had those 2 weeks off, and it took a bit the first few days of getting up again at 5:30. I know for many folks that's nothing. They're up, have chores done, eaten breakfast, and are at work already for that. But it took a bit getting back into it.
I hear you. I'm going to setting my alarm clock for early. Now that I have just a week left of paternity leave, and then I'll be back to the real world.
Oh, you'd better do that like yesterday. Seriously, it's taking me about a week to get back into it.
I've been waking up lately at like 8 o'clock in the morning to do chores because all we're doing is feeding and letting them out and make sure they have fresh water and everything. So, I got to get on that.
Well, how are things down on your farm this week?
Things are good. First of all, Happy New Year, everybody, and hope everybody had a Merry Christmas as well. We've been having interviews and really haven't addressed that. So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's turned out to be a real banger so far.
Yeah, for sure. We won't get into that. We're talking goats here, folks. but everything's pretty good on the farm. We're just maintaining. Today, I think I'll be doing some hooves on the bucks just to get them all squared away, and then maybe some copper boluses too.
Well, I'd get
But
those does too if they're not too laden.
yeah, right now their coats still look pretty good, so I think we're all right with them. The bucks, it's they're at the end of their rut, so they're not worn out, but they're not looking terrible or anything, but they could use a little loving.
Our boys are starting to look, like two good old boys right now. They're starting to fatten up a bit, and they're it's funny. I walk in the barn and they're there looking at me like, "Food now?" Put it in there.
Yeah, exactly. We did make a decision, a farm-based decision, before the new year for our farm. We've decided that we are going to disperse our Nigerian dwarves. We're going to cut that program out of our farm. And that was kind of a decision with my wife and I, as it was kind of a, well, why do we have these on our farm? Are we enjoying them as much as we thought we are? I thought you were enjoying them. I'm enjoying them, but not as much, blah, blah, blah. So we've decided that we're going to keep the first one she ever got, because that's her heart goat. That's Sophie. She's not going to go anywhere. So we'll AI her and sell the kids and probably just dry her off. Or if she gets really, really pretty, maybe we'll show her. Who knows? And then we've decided we're going to bring in some golden Guernseys, or sorry, folks, Guernseys, to the
Golden
farm.
Guernseys are trademarked, as
Yep. So we're gonna be bringing some Guernsey does in to doe kids this fall and or this spring, and we'll give that a go. I think they'll really complement our Oberhasli with the temperament that they seem to have, from what I've read and been told by other breeders. So I think that'll be a fun project.
They're supposed to be pretty good around children, from what I've heard. Even though, the bucks can have these really long, huge horns, and really, they're really beautiful.
They are beautiful horns for sure. We'll definitely be disbutting them.
Yes. I have a not really a neighbor friend. She's about 2 miles down the road who mm-hmm. recently suffered an eye injury because of the horns on a doe. With a little doe kid, and it was one of these cases of she picked her up to love her because it was a Nigerian cross, and I'd kind of warned her about, you know, the horns really are going to be an issue for you. No. Well, she picked her up, and whack. Luckily, it was no permanent damage, but
yeah,
she was a pirate for a week or two.
Oh, geez.
So, people wonder why we disbud. There you go.
Right. Yeah. There's plenty of reasons to disbud for sure. So what's going on with you?
Well, no major decisions like that on our farm over the new year.
That's good.
You know, we're always trying to find a way to make the goats pay for themselves. So we're looking at some possible grant opportunities to put in a high tunnel, possibly for a greenhouse. So it's not necessarily the goats, but it's the property, which includes mm-hmm. the goats. We're still looking into, you know, small artisan-based style cheeses. Mm-hmm. You know, how, you know, it's 2021 now, we're dealing with a pandemic. How do you make the property you're living on affordable?
Right.
The otherwise, we're looking at the fact that in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, we'll be expecting kids. So in 2 weeks, I'll be.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be exhausted.
I'm so jealous.
I'm jealous. I mean, I look at these Edgar pages on Facebook, and people are already posting kids being born. Our good friend Jessica out there. Hi, Jessica. she's probably not going to hear it till around noon. She's been dealing with freshenings all weekend.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, she, and this is a big group for her.
Oh, it is.
This freshening.
It's like a bunch of them all at once.
Yeah. Too bad she didn't have a friend to say, hey, that's a lot of does you're breeding there. Oh, wait. She did.
She did two of them. Three of them, if you count Jen.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big group. Good luck. We're saluting you from here, Jessica.
Well, we're going to end our season. It looks like, you know, we'll have one or two does freshening then, but the next to last batch of does to freshen, and it will be a batch. It'll be like four or five.
I have a batch of three and then a batch of one.
Wow, that's a big batch.
Yeah, I'm really. But, you know, I've been thinking about it. Obviously, we don't have our morning schedule for getting ready for work with a baby and all that stuff, you know, set yet.
You want to practice that.
We're both still on. Oh, yeah, we are. But so it's like I'm kind of glad that we only bred four, just so this year is like a trial year, see how we can do it, and then that way we don't get too big for our britches and bite off more than we can chew, you know?
Yeah, but with the kidding and batch, you got to try it like what? I think Tekoa has done like in the teens, I think Christine, not black, out there, and you know, has done, I think I heard. Shoot up in the teens for a number of does freshening as well.
Well, I think this batch for Jessica is a batch of 20.
Oh, really? Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I said I salute you.
Everyone out there in Adger world or goat world, just say a gentle prayer for the sanity of Jessica. at the same time, she is posting a lot of really cute little kids.
Oh my goodness! She shared me shared a picture of a doe kid that was born yesterday with me, and I almost melted. It was the cutest little thing.
So,
but
she gets that dairy goat cuteness now. helps melt away the winter blues. I think that's why right. many of us who do earlier freshenings do it. I know, you know, another Hosley breeder out there in Idaho, you know, Brandy, that's one of the reasons she does it. Helps melt away those winter blues and you got it warm baby goat kisses.
Sure.
So, but now we're starting, we're looking at, that was our goal with an early breeding on this doe. Pepper is actually Maria's doe, and she's kind of an older doe, and we just wanted to get one more freshening out of her, and she came in heat mm-hmm. in September, I think it was. So we bred her. It's kind of, it's probably one of her last, and Maria's excited. We've told her that we'll let Pepper be the barn bum.
Oh yeah.
After this, yeah, we'll freshen her out and then probably dry her off. Mm-hmm. And but
that's good.
But she's given us two beautiful does that are just. I mean, she's had others, but there've been freshening issues in the past, mm-hmm. and this poor doe just has earned a retirement.
Yeah.
Our wonderful ums. She just she's got two daughters that are just. You kind of look at them and you're like, wow, that came from that little doe, that ugly little doe right there.
Hey, some of the ugly ones produce the prettiest ones.
Yep. So it's that's what's going on around here. My daughter's birthday today. Happy birthday, Maria.
Oh, happy birthday, Rita. Yep.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it, and it's been a number of years, over a decade since I was in your shoes, John, and you know, Jen and I actually were discussing, you know, well, we had discussed it before, but it was like more me than her about remembering the events of the day, the night and the day she was born, you know, the night when we were heading to the hospital and the day in which she was born. So,
yeah. I mean, time flies. I can't believe that we're almost at 3 months and I'm about to go back to work already. It's nuts, but it's precious moments.
They are there. And you'll have thousands more.
Yep.
So let's kick into some Adka news. We're aging ourselves. We know what.
Right.
So the new system is going online. It's going to be,
well, it's end of January. Looks like the 21st to the 29th is when they'll be working on it. And then hopefully the 30th, it'll be live.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're like, some new features. You'll be able to update contact information. You'll be able to browse, search all ADCA registered animals, which you can kind of do that now if you know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You could search, this is an interesting one. You could search for people who aren't in the ADCA member directory. And that kind of like, what? I got thinking about this, but I think what that is like, say I pay my membership dues now or paid them already in December, I'm going to be in the ADCA directory. We did.
Right.
But say, John Smith over here, just I think that's the generic name, and he didn't do it until maybe February 2nd. He's still an ADCA mm-hmm. member.
Right.
But he won't be in the directory.
Well, the mailed in.
Right, the mailed in one.
The mailed out one.
You know, when you go to flip through, he won't be there. Be like, oh, I thought he was an ADCA member. Well, now you can go, I'll go to the ADCA website, the new one, and
mm-hmm.
I'll search for him, and there he is. So that's one of the things you'll be able to. This another one that, you know, upload your signature authorization rather than having to send in the mail-in form. your subscription report sort of stuff, the awards, your performance, the show data.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a one-stop shop, everything but ADGA pedigrees.
Right. Well, in completing your registrations online, including Guernseys, breeder error reports will be online, and DNA requests, which will be big coming 2023. That'll still be a downloadable, printable instructions, but it looks like you can request it online and get it online if you have the sticker label.
Right. Yes, and the current website is going to be offline from the 21st to the 29th. So any paperwork that you're sending into ADGA, your registrations, whatever, any rush orders needed to be in last week. Now, here's where some people are a little miffed.
They told us this week that they needed to be in last week.
Right.
So you got to go find the doctor with the DeLorean, and you got to set it to 85 miles per hour into the last week and go 85 miles per hour, boom, jump into time, go back to the past, submit it, and then boom, come back to the future, to the present, and hope you didn't screw anything up.
Right. And the argument from some is, oh, well, you knew this new system was coming, so why are all these people up in arms? Well, first of all, like any good marriage, relationship, what have you, the most important thing is communication. Yep. And communication was brought a day late from when they were going to stop rush orders, or not stop them, but stop working on rush orders, right? So communication just went out the window, and now people that are in the middle of kidding season have to send in registrations and just hope that they don't get lost in a pile of paperwork, right? So it's just, how hard would it have been a month ago, 30 days ago, to send out a memo to members through email, and say, hey, we're going to be stopping and working on the new system from the 21st to the 29th.
Right. I mean, between social media and email, even, for those members who don't do either, good old-fashioned paper and envelope, just said, hey, just so you know. With this whole thing, by the way, another there. you need your email address. For all this, your email address is going to be key. It's part of the next generation interface. And when you go to go on there, if you're onto the next generation, once it's up and running, if you already have a PIN and are already using the internet, the online resources, and you have an account online, you'll just have to change your email, not email, your password. If you don't have an online account, you'll have to get the mailing forms and send in to get a PIN. And they'll give you a PIN, and then you can use the online resources. Just so we move forward with that.
And I hope this is a smooth transition, because from what this is pre me, but from what I've been told last time that the system was shut down like this for upgrades, it took a little while.
Well, let's hope not. Hopefully we learned from our lessons and we can move forward. If we didn't learn from our lessons, let's find out what we got to do and fix it.
Now, I did see an interesting question, which I didn't realize this was going to be part of the new system down the pike. So it's not happening with this new resurgence and update of the website. But there's going to be an AGA app down the road at some point. We're talking probably years, right? But yeah, there's going to be an AGA app. I didn't even realize that was even a thing.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century. hopefully it doesn't take that long. Well, that'll be good. And then, I'm glad to see that they're including the registration of the Guernseys into ADGA with the new update. Again, hopefully that doesn't take very long. So,
now, I don't think there's going to be registering, or like as soon as it's live, I think we even asked Ken this, as soon as it's live, Guernseys won't be in there. It'll be Guernsey breeders have to send in registration.
And blah, right, blah. Because there's a lot more to, I mean, a lot of us are able to enjoy the benefits of decades and maybe even a century of registration on our right. animals, meaning pedigrees and backgrounds. With the Guernseys, as you found out in speaking with the breeder, actually, with Joan Stump, with the Guernsey Association, she's treasurer, that they're going to be having to take these animals and input the pedigree that the Guernsey Association and the database that they have for these animals. And so when you do a registration on a Guernsey, it's going to be kind of like connecting the dots. And I almost imagine the old phone operators where, you know, this cord over to here and that over to there to make the connection so that it becomes more fluid. But
for sure,
that's looking to be going online. For me, it's exciting because, you know, it's just fun to watch when there's a new breed coming on and all the activity that goes around it. It's fun. It's
for sure. Yeah,
it's a moment in time. Yeah, no, it's something where 20 years down the road, I remember back when the Guernsey were brought in that this happened.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So now LA Task Force, Linear Appraisal Task Force, they have 5 days.
Yeah, January 15th is when they go to the board and, you know, give them their proposal and see if the board will approve or deny it via postal ballot.
Well, they're giving a report. And they're giving their recommendations for basically the report is here's what the problems were. And then the recommendations, how we can fix the problem or mitigate them or, you know, at least make it more agreeable to work in under these circumstances.
Right.
So hopefully after that, we'll be able to find out what has to be done, and then the board can turn to our appraisers and find out who's willing to appraise.
Right. They're going to have to rehire them because they weren't rehired or whatever.
I mean, I know a few of our listeners who will let us know one way or the other, but I believe they were actually told that they were let go. But it...
Yeah.
But I believe that was almost that's how it happens annually. But again, you can let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, they get laid off.
Yeah.
Then they rehire them after, you know, when it's about time to be rehired for appraisal. So once they do the January 15th proposal and then a ballot goes out to the directors and they all vote on it. And then hopefully they'll be able to come up with a plan for this year in the state of COVID. And hopefully they'll make a game plan for linear appraisal.
Well, I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a game plan for linear appraisal in general to address the issues of that are facing linear appraisal. Right. And then once they've got that figured out and they find out whether there are appraisers who are still willing to work, then they've got to look and go, well, can we do it?
Right.
You know, because that's kind of like the, you know, the elephant in the room is COVID over there. And yeah, we've got that problem. We may or may not have that problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
But whether COVID will let it proceed, and the fact that some states are going to have COVID regulations and restrictions, and we also all have to realize that we have an administration coming in here, someone who's talking about a possible shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to affect whether linear can happen, whether anything can happen? How long is that going to be?
Exactly.
My famous ums. You'll be generated by the end of the show.
Well, while you're drinking your coffee, I forgot to put on our notes here, Nate. This Young Sire development list came out for the fourth quarter.
Sorry, I get excited over that.
And and it's a pretty exciting thing. So congratulations to everybody that made that list. Now, it was mentioned on our friend's podcast over on GoatGab.
Hey guys,
about what? Yeah, they mentioned the Young Sire Development Program, and I think this is going to be a topic that we discuss a little bit on what it is. Not today, but in short, Young Sire Development Program is based on young bucks whose ancestors have been LA'd. They've been on milk test. They do all the programs, and with those numbers, it basically, with those numbers, says this buck should be a good buck. And those numbers are transmittable to his progeny.
It's tied to the ETA. The ETA,
Is the transmitted
production type, or type over production. Mm-hmm. And they have a threshold or a score of what they have to be above in order to get on the Young Sires list.
And when you look at the pedigrees of those bucks or even does on AdGood Genetics, you'll see to the left of their pedigree some numbers that say ETA1, ETA2, PT, all that stuff. And the numbers are either in green or red. And basically, you want those numbers in green. And you want it to be 2-1.
They're in blue.
No, they're in green, I believe. I'm
going to beat you.
Folks, this is live. AdGa Genetics. I'm going to go right to Orion because he was on the list.
They're in blue.
And darn it, they're in blue. So it's not 2-1 because Orion's ETA is 77 and his other ETA 12 is 52. So basically, they just have to be in. Maybe his numbers
change. I do think some animals change. As more data is gathered on them and removed, and you know, it's updated, it gets adjusted.
Yeah. I'm going to look for the email that I got. Boom. Right here. And see if his numbers were on there. Sorry, folks, this is live. His numbers aren't on there. I would have to go to the actual post. Anyway, so it's supposed to be production over type.
Or type over production.
His numbers did change. He was 82 and 41. It's right here in the email. So his numbers did change. So currently, as he sits, he wouldn't he wouldn't make it. Yeah, he wouldn't be on the young star development list
this year.
If he was a kid and his numbers here are 77-52 instead of
that list annual. Mm-hmm. So if you have say a two bucks and say mm-hmm. they're born in December and you hurry up and you register one in December, maybe that's a bad thing. That you register one in the spring. Okay. The other one you hold on to, you're not mm-hmm. sure whether you're gonna send them for meat or for a pet. Paco, or if you're going to sell them for breeding, you're not sure yet. You don't know. And then sometime in January, somebody says, hey, do you have the litter mate to that buck? And now he's almost a yearling. And you sell him as a mm-hmm. breeder, and you register him. And lo and behold, the second buck gets on the list. But the first buck didn't.
And that happened to a friend of mine this year.
That happened to somebody this year.
A friend of mine.
And the first buck didn't make the list because his numbers were calculated the year before and didn't quite qualify.
Mm-hmm. And, right, there wasn't a milk test or something that
the second year there was a milk test or a linear. And the litter mate made it. So things like that do happen. And I guess my thought is, if that happens, and you're wanting the accolade for the first buck to be something, just make mm-hmm. sure that his daughters go into the show ring and beat the daughters of the second buck. Yeah.
Right. And with that scenario, my friend was a little miffed that the litter mate made it, but he didn't. And it's a kind of an explanation, and I don't know if it really got across to her, but so young star development list, I wouldn't say it's a huge market tool. I did market it and will, because it does say keep an eye on this buck, right? It says, according to statistics, this should be a quality animal. It's not saying he's going to be the next elite sire, but it's saying that.
Well, it also says, it's quality. It says that this buck this animal is descended from animals who are on test, a milk test, they're being linear mm-hmm. appraised. So this is a herd that's looking at those numbers, and they may be managing according to those numbers. Maybe, and not all do, but some collect that data and just go, wow, that's good mm-hmm. data. Others use it for making management decisions. And so this animal is descended from a herd that may be using third party data gathered to make decisions within mm-hmm. the herd. And to me, that's a big thing. That's saying that somebody else has looked at these animals and said, yeah, they're good. The breeder has got a direction they're going and it's good. So
now at that token, it's also, on Goat Gap, they just Cameron Jodlowski spoke on how one of his friends had one that a buck that made the young sire development list, and he was not up to snuff, and he was called.
That happened,
and that happens. It's just like an animal that was sired by an elite sire, and the dam was a national champion. Sure, the pedigree says it should be a nice animal, but they could turn around knocking hawks as they're walking and looking just terrible, and they go to meat market or wherever. So it happens. It's genetics are crazy.
It's an indicator. An indice. It's not really saying this animal will guarantee to throw the next national champion. It's just saying that
mm-hmm.
the numbers are all there. It has a good pedigree. There is a high potential for this animal to have a good transmittability. That's that ETA that estimated. Mm-hmm. And there's a potential there. Now, that's going into the PTI, which is actually the potential transmittability. The ETI estimated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ETA, the ETA is what is used to get on the list for young sires. The PTI, that's more for your FG.
Right. So I just wanted to mention that as I thought it was neat to hear somebody else explain it, and they didn't explain it thoroughly. They it was just
well, I think they were just going over it
quickly. So I just wanted to kind of touch on it. Yeah. Yeah, like we usually do with news. We're sitting on news pretty long this week, and that's just because there's a lot of it.
We've got the and there's another task force out there, the online voting one. Now I've heard that some people are wondering what's going on with it, because there's not as much hubbub around it. But I know that it's an arduous task. It really is. If you've ever sat and tried reading through the Constitution and bylaws, or just, you know, your Edgar rule book, sorry folks, it's a sleeper.
I actually, you were kidding around with me last night, and you said, yeah, you know, go through the bylaws and see what you can find, when we were talking about the voting. And I said, you know what, I will, because I need to go to bed. And it worked. I started reading through
a lot of legalese. Yes.
I'm sorry if people hear my guinea hen. I have a lone guinea hen now. One of my guinea hens got, and this guinea hen's so loud now. But anyway, so if you hear that, I apologize.
So if your guinea hen's not mine, mine is still sleeping. It's you know, there's so the task force for that is still out there, but they've got such a task to go through all that and find every reference to voting. Because if we go to an online, just the proposal to do the online voting, they need to address what the Constitution and bylaws say about voting, you know, pretty much every instance. Because this is a constitution change to ADGA that would have to happen. And they'd propose it to the board, to board of directors, to EC. I'm not sure which. I think it would go to board of directors, and then it would ultimately go out to the membership.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be a paper ballot hopefully the last paper ballot that the members receive on to vote whether to proceed or not. And we had Ken on the show last week, and we touched on online voting, and he assured us that it was something that is being taken seriously and will not be a couple years down the road and will be sooner than later. So
hopefully
we'll have to wait and see, but I have not heard much about it. And honestly, probably because there's a lot of stuff on the docket that's much bigger than online voting, although it's very important.
It's also just something where, you know, it's coming. It we'll keep an eye on it for you.
Yeah.
let's see, we're moving on through. Minor things. We got, it's an N year.
N for Nancy or Nubian.
Yeah, how many Obas
Ladoons? So make sure you make Nubian? Those N's extra loud.
Not a Nubian?
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, not a Nigerian.
So make sure you get Nigerian, those tattoos right.
Anyway, yeah. So if you're thinking tattoos, you know, the suggested tattoo letter for the year is N. Just mentioning that out there since it's the new year. And so the national show for 2021, the committee's starting to put information out there about dry camping sites for Louisville. And I think I saw that it was $75 a day.
It's $75 a day for electric, so electric hookup. Didn't mention anything about water hookup, probably, so just I'm electric. Assuming no water hookup. Right. And so $75 a day, it's in like Watt M or whatever it is. And if you do not want electric hookup, there's another lot where actually all the livestock trailers will be kept that you can camp.
I'm curious to know if it's $50 a day to camp there. Are they charging you to keep the livestock trailer there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't think so. Unless they'll charge you $50 a day if you decide to sleep in your livestock trailer. And if they catch you sleeping in your livestock trailer without paying that money and having a deposit down and all that stuff, you'll be escorted out. And there's no word yet about if they'll allow overnight camping at the pens. I know that's something we you guys have done in the past.
You know, after spending the actual show with three small children in the horse barn at Columbus, where they never turn the lights out, we are considering the hotel option. Now, I know there are hotels around the Louisville location, so if we go, you know, that'd be an option. I know a lot of breeders are already looking at that. Hopefully the local crew can say, you know, this is a hotel that's got good reputation rather than, you know, some shady ones. I know there's usually the hotel where people say, oh, you really don't want to go to that one. They charge by the minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're going to be looking at Harrisburg locations, hotels, soon, just so we can get our reservation in for 2022.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, now the glitch there would be that some hotels won't book that far out.
Yeah, there's certain hotels that do and some that don't, but we'll definitely be in contact with hotels to see who, what, where, and
why. Yeah, no, that's
right. So that's. And that's my wife. She's very fact of the matter. Just she sets everything out on paper and tries to get everything done beforehand. So we're not scrambling.
Am I?
I mean, we still have our to-do lists for getting ready for baby on our fridge and Sunny's sister's show last year. We've got our to-do list on here. So,
well, you know, lists kind of help you keep things going forward. I know that I...
Oh, if it wasn't for her list, I'd be lost. Yeah,
same here. It's often, you know, it's one of these things. Otherwise, what happens in our house is, you know, Jen's running around getting ready. I'm like, you need me to do something?
Yeah, exactly.
At least with a list, I can look at it and go, oh, you know, it says here put gas in the truck for going to Columbus. I should do that. The list help, you know, if you haven't done it, try looking at them. Yeah, we were going to take a little break, a kind of a fun matter. It's a new year here, and, you know, for a topic area, normally we try to, you know, discuss maintenance and care and you know, stuff, but it's a new year. I've noticed a lot of people are pining for the show ring or for those exhibitions and fairs out there. And, you know, it's cold. I'm looking out my window here at about 8 inches of snow in my front yard. The trees look like twigs.
That's funny. That's cute.
And chickadees are just coming into the bird feeder. And,
I'm total opposite. I mean, it's very cold out today, and actually it's been so cold that we haven't had the does out in probably 4 or 5 days, just because the wind has just been cutting, and I really don't need anybody to get
the wind is again. we're up here on the hill here, and if the wind is really cuts to the bone like that, yeah, we'll keep them in, but otherwise, others are going out. They were out yesterday. It was a high of 25 here. I know that down in Norwich, it was near 30, but we're about 5 to 7 degrees cooler up here than it is miles away.
Yeah. So with that 5 to 7 degrees, you're definitely looking forward to some warmer shows. I know I am. I made a list of all shows in the area this week. So I'm definitely ready. I think I'm ready to see some people.
I think it's the people that, I mean, okay, we all love getting in the show ring. And is this, was this breeding what I expected it to be? Is it, you know, did the produce what we were hoping? Yeah, we're all looking for that. But I think one of the things that many of us really are missing is the people aspect. You know, I think that's what, for me, the Ultimate Box Show is so much fun, is because you got the boys there. You know, I know many people are like, I don't show the box, but I think the box are just the excuse to get together. It's yeah, more, it's sure. The first show of the season, or one of the first shows. You get together, you see how everyone's doing, you talk to each other, and you hang out, and you know, the shenanigans that ensue, follow. Oh, yeah?
I've got some fun ones for shenanigans. Oh, so we go to Dutchess County Fair, and that's a week-long show. You're there for the full week. When you're not showing, your animals are on display for everybody to see, right? So there's always, it's one of the biggest fairs in New York. And I have friends, one of whom is, my friend's name is Jeff. He is the guy, I'm sure people see my posts where I'll post something about a beautiful goat and he'll say, oh, it's just another goat kidding around. That's Jeff. So what he likes to do is he likes to put dollar bills on fishing lines and putting them in, you know, drop them in the walkway, and then he's got his kids sitting there waiting for somebody to bend over, pick it up, and they start yanking it away. It's always a fun one. Everybody looks confused, and they finally see who's doing it, and everybody has a good time. They'll glue down some pennies down on the floor. They'll also I just think the biggest thing with shows, especially that show, is you have all this week is just sitting down and just joking around, right? And just having a fun time. It's your vacation.
Yo, so if you exhibit at State Fair, you know, and this is actually at any fair, you know, one of the fun things to do is people watching. And my kids are starting to get the gist of people watching. They've heard Jen and I talk about, oh, let's go to some people watching at the fair, and we'll grab a chair and we'll sit down. It'll be like, this is people watching? Like, oh yeah, you just gotta wait. And you see all you know, local fairs, you can see, you kind of know what to expect. You might even know the name of the people. But, you know, those state fairs, they bring all kinds of people from all over the place. And you get some real interesting ones. Yes.
So we had a bingo card the last year at Dutchess, like a physical bingo card. Everybody threw $5 into a jar. Yeah. Threw $5 into a jar. And everybody was to be held accountable for telling the truth. And I think this next time we're going to have them, okay, if you hit it, you have to take a picture of the person or whatever you see.
We did it. We required a witness. You had to have, so you'd be like, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you got it.
Yep. So, which sounds terrible. It sounds like we're just sitting there pointing at people, laughing at
them.
You're
sitting there with a piece of paper, you look like you're doing something very thoughtful, but you're actually tossing off the boxes. The problem that I heard with wonderful, great New York State Fair, when they went to play this game, they were done after an hour. a few people decided they had to fill the sheet.
You know, the kidding around and joking around is awesome. It's a great aspect. And with regular shows, I don't see it as much. I mean, I'll sit down with Zach Crocker of Chickadee Farm Nigerians, and we'll sit there and crack jokes back and forth with each other at single day shows as long as we can. Most of the time it's because we're hot and just over it and just want to sit down.
I remember, Phil, you know, I keep mentioning, you know, State Fair. Growing up, my family, we were there. It back in the 80s and 90s and until relatively recently, it was a 12-day fair. First 6 was for the 4-H goats, and the second 6 days were open class. The night of, you know, what we called the changeover was the most of the 4-H animals left. But those of us who were staying for open class, we had to move our animals to a back corner of the barn because they would bring in bobcat skid steers. You had to throw your clean your pens into the middle aisle, and they'd come through with bobcat skid steers, and they'd clean them all out. They'd push it all out in out of the barn, and they'd clean up the pile with a big bucket loader and truck it away all in the middle of the night. So you've got this machinery ramming around in the barn, and the goats are flipping out. So you've got to be there with the goats. So as a result, you know, and there's no time schedule. It's not like they'll be here at 7:30, and at 7:30 they pull up. It might be 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night. It might be 2 back then. Now it is actually it's before midnight when this happens, because now they open. It has to be ready for the open class to come in at midnight. But anyway, so what would happen would be is there'd be this crew of, it was usually left to the teenage 4-H's to stay with the animals. And you mentioned telling stories and jokes and sitting around and doing nothing. The barn's closed, so you're not people watching. All the food booths are closed, so you're not going anywhere to get something to eat. You just sit there waiting for these bobcats to come, telling stories. And I will tell you some of the most off-color jokes I've ever heard came out of those nights. Sitting there and just hearing, you know, these grand old stories. But you say, you know, the shows don't have as much, you know, going on. I think some of the things that the shows are, they're either really quick, sudden, funny things that happen, or they're older or more long thought, you know, things. You know, it wasn't in New York City. I'm not even sure entirely what state it was, but when I was, you know, 8, 9, 10, when I was a young whippersnapper, knee-high to a grasshopper, you know, I traveled with my father. One year we were at a show. This was back in the 80s. And in a recorded grade class, somebody brought in a white-tailed deer. Yeah, just as a
come on,
you know, joke. See if he'd notice. And he, I mean, you know, he grew up on a farm. You know, family of he had 5 brothers and sisters. He hunted. He saw it right away, and he just you know. He asked, you know, what breed is this one supposed to be? And the breeder just kind of shook her head, and you know, the goat breeder. And so he put it at the end of the line for not conforming to her breed. And that, you know, well, it was a single entry in the class. And there was one other. That's what it was. There was one other actual goat in the ring. It turned out it had been a wildlife rehabilitation, and it couldn't be released because it imprinted on the humans. And so,
well, it sounds like
they had goats because that's how they, you know, were feeding it, and so it was part of the farm. They had the permit for it. It was part of the farm. And so they knew my father. They wanted to get a rise out of him. And so they brought this dear to the show.
That is hilarious.
I'm sure there are lots of things that nowadays would be state laws and health departments cringing. It was a show down south, and it happened.
That's funny.
At the same time, for me, the whole showing, it's like different family reunions for me. Really, that's how I view showing.
Yeah.
It's like this the Buck Show, and that's kind of my New England family.
Yeah, for sure. That's the first time that you and I actually met was at the Altamont Buck Show. And I think my next shenanigan will have to be like some really bright boxers or underwear to wear underneath my show whites. I think that's going to be the next big one. And I was thinking thong.
No, I don't think that's
going to be quite appropriate. But I think like a Speedo type, like really bright, like, I don't know, maybe Van Justin.
You'd have to actually get like really an actual cute Speedo probably.
Oh, they make some fancy underwear these days, Nate. Have you ever been on their Amazon?
Please, No.
There's some cute stuff. I think that's going to be my next one. I don't know what show I'm going to do it at yet, though. I can't do it at Dutchess County Fair because there's too many kids.
Well, that.
Maybe Nationals.
They actually are, they keep you to a uniform there.
Well, it's uniform. It's my undergarments. Because let's face it, show whites, at least my show pants, I tend to get a lighter pant. So it's not see-through, but I have to wear like, I have white boxers that I
see,
wear.
See, I go because, and I get the canvas pants from Sherwin-Williams. Go down.
Usually, I have some heavier ones too, but
well, that's what. But these ones are like they're not a heavy canvas; they're like a khaki sort of canvas. That's why I wear those.
Yeah,
I do have a set of white Wranglers for colder weather or for Buck Show. That I use. Oh, man, I don't know that I would be doing that. I've heard of some wardrobe things where people have tried going in wearing all black.
Well, shoot, if I try on my show whites right now, I might split
at the home, when I eating all the casseroles people bring you.
Goat. Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to go back to work and I'm just going to be like, rolling
you,
the door.
This I'm week, here, you guys. Need to like get up early, go walk a mile. Come back in. That's your training to go back to work. Eye of the tiger.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing the earphone. Rise it up. Back on my for feet. Sure. I can't sing. Something I remember that you just can't. I don't know. They're not PG-13. things that are said and done,
for sure.
Going through the barn, there's like I was thinking about, one year, again, staying in the barn, many exhibitors do it, and it had been my friend Mason's 21st birthday right there at the fair. So, of course, we take him to, this booth and that booth. And, at the fair, they have the wine court and the beer garden. Mm-hmm. So we take him there. And, they had in the Coliseum, they have a bar with this large projection screen TV with a first-person shooter, and you know, we tuck them there, and then we stagger back into the barn, you know, and go to bed, and you know, of course, we're sleeping at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and the exhibitors next to Mason's pen, which is where we set up our cot, had two small children. Well, they're not small anymore, because this, mind you, it's like 20, 25 years ago. So,
yeah.
We're sleeping, and you know how hard it is to get mad at someone when they're a 5 or 6 year old child tapping you on the forehead going, "Mason, Mason, tap, 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 tap. Mason, time to get up. Tap, 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 tap." It was adorably cute at the same time. What a way to wake someone up. Go over there and wake them up. Send a small child over there. Don't send an adult. The adult's going to get killed. You get small memories like right. that. And you just pop them. You popped a soda.
I had my coffee. Oh, yes, I did. I was trying to be quiet with it. I do have one other funny tradition at Dutchess County Fair, and I'm not going to name names here, but at Dutchess County Fair, when everybody's gone for the night, there's a group of people that like to enjoy their beverages, and I can't hang with them because I am not a huge drinker at all. I'm actually a very cheap date. My wife will attest to that.
Be fun.
And
give Jack a beer to be done.
Yeah, seriously. so this group of people have a tradition where every year at fair it runs usually late August, so it's hot usually, and at fair there is a long jump exhibit where all these dogs do, you know, jump off the ramp, you know, dock dogs, and jump off the ramp for distance and into water. And their tradition is to sneak over there and cool off. So, so that's a fun tradition as well. I don't partake in that, and I will never.
I'll come
on. Yeah, that's a fun one too.
I remember one year there was a pool set up, you know, just at one of the fairs we went to, and it was a company that was selling, you know, hey, we install pools. And during the day, for like a dollar or two, you could spend an hour in the pool, you know, because they wanted to show people in the pool having fun, and oh yay, you know, it's so much easier to sell a pool than, yeah, here's a big tub of water. Yeah, I think some of these hot tub things at the fair should take this a note. But anyway, I do remember, you know, one year, again, after hours, the fair was relatively shut down. A group of teenagers went swimming in the pool after hours at dark. And hey, something to do. So it happens, yeah. At the same time, some of these fairs, you get in shows, you do see some fun things. You know, one of the pleasant memories since we've been back into showing is, and many people know my father, you know, he was, you know, a judge, a director. Until from 1964 until the year 2000, he had, you know, Togs, Alpines, La Manchas, Nubians, Sonnens, Oberhasleys. And then, you know, he went into Nigerians. And so he's been a long time, you know, goat breeder. Well, here in the past, you know, 5, 6 years, my wife and I have gotten back into breeding Oberhasleys. And we were up at the club show at Syracuse and showing. He showed up to show, and my wife and I had to go in and show our goats, but we have these three kids, and you know, Katie and Maria were helping show, but there was Jamie, and Jamie was playing, and we had no idea. He's like, I'll take care of Jamie. And so, Jen and I and the girls are showing, and you know, as a parent, you're looking around. What's going on? What's my kid doing? You know, hopefully my father, you know, able. You know, he's getting along in years, and where are they? And Jen and I we're in the ring. You're supposed to pay attention to the judge and you know what's going on. But Jen and I are parent mode is kicked in, and we're like flipping out, looking around. And this kid is going to be the death of me, by the way. Because I got one other story related to him, and it's every parent's nightmare. But we looked around, and one of the other exhibitors who've known Jen and I for years, they're right here, and they point, you know, behind the bleachers, in the dirt. There's my 73-year-old father, because that's how old he was at the time, playing cars with my son, with my 3-year-old son in the dirt, playing there. And the last story on Jamie, and I'll end it on this one, and it's a scary thing for any parent to lose a child at a fair. But you know, I was told, you know, keep an eye on the kid. And Jen said, I'm going to the parking lot. I'll be right back. I said, okay, you know, no problem. I'll keep an eye on the kids. I said, Katie, Maria, Jamie. Good. And, you know, Jen leaves, and someone walks up to me and says, hey, where's the restroom? And I said, oh, let's say down there. And I turn around and said, okay, kids, let's go get. I'm like, 1, 2. Where's the third one? Jamie was gone. And I panic. I'm like,
uh-oh.
1, 2, and I think all I can think to myself is that that person was like the distraction for somebody to grab, you know. And I start looking around, and I'm running through the barns, calling for him and other exhibitors. You know, we're family when you're showing. You know, they're like, "What's going on?" You know, I can't find Jamie. He was right there, and now he's gone. And I'm running through the barn. You know, Katie is, you know, was a bit older. She was, you know, but Katie and Maria are with me, you know, calling out for Jamie. And there's an exhibitor whose friend is a state trooper, and he's right, his friend was right there. And like, we got my son, he was right there, he's gone. You know, he's a little 4-year-old kid, and we're panicking. I'm starting to sweat, and grabbing a call. Jen is, did you take Jamie with you? No. I said, I can't find him. Jen's running back from the parking lot. And the trooper said, well, let's go back to where you saw him last. And we go back to our attack area. And I'm like, he was right here. And he goes, you know, what happened? And so I tell him about the guy asking. He's like, okay, I'm going to call and we're going to lock the gates to the state fair. You know, child abduction, lock the gate. Just as he said that, Jamie jumps out from underneath the table, going, surprise!
Oh, no.
The gate to the state fair.
Oh, no. You must have been as mad as a hornet.
But, I mean, I was as mad as can be, but who was really mad? Jen.
Yeah.
Because the last word was, you keep an eye on
them. Oh, I'm sure.
Sure enough, I lose the youngest. And, oh, my goodness. My heart about stopped. So I think, you know, be careful of the kids, of your children. They're going to kill you just in scaring you at these shows. The end lesson, by the way, was Jamie got told that at these shows to never hide like that. So Right. And he hasn't. He's taken it seriously. The, you know, the trooper really gave him a stern talking to. but no, the, you know, you talk about, you know, the shenanigans that goes on. That's probably my scariest shenanigan. That luckily now we can look back on and laugh, but it could have been so much worse.
For sure. Yeah. Now, before we wrap up, I did want to mention a bit of news that I forgot to talk about, Nate, if you don't mind. Okay. So, everybody, the Progressive Dairy Goat Club, which is here in New York, is excited to host Dr. Mary Smith in a virtual talk. Yeah. In a virtual talk, as she discusses utter health of dairy goat with the whole club. And if you're not in the club, you can still join. We're going to be doing it via Zoom. All are welcome to attend on January 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Mary Smith is a professor of ambulatory and production medicine at Cornell University's Vet School and the author of Goat Medicine. We are thrilled to have her present and hope that this will be a helpful lecture as does start to freshen. So you can check out our Facebook page. We shared it on their ringside. And if you for some reason don't have Facebook, you can send an email or message to myself or Nate, or you can email Progressive Dairy Goat Club at gmail.com. And they'll send you the link to join via Zoom. Dr.
Smith is such a wealth of knowledge and information. And she's been doing this for decades. I mean, goat medicine came out years ago, but she's constantly researching, constantly studying. And she is, I would highly, I mean, we're planning to try to get in on it if we have, you know, have a chance. The other one that, by the way, I just kind of want to mention along the similar lines, here in New York, we're really blessed. We have Dr. Smith at Cornell University. We also have Dr. Tatiana Stanton. I believe that it was that Timothy Flickinger posted that they'd had Dr. Stanton, who is a professor, you know, at Cornell University as well. She deals a lot with small ruminant health. And they had a recorded session with her talking about goat nutrition, which, you know, it's one of these things what everyone's always asking is, what do you feed? We're asking other people, what do you feed? And Tatiana, she came and did a talk for us. She did a 4-H visit, you know, and talked goat nutrition with us. But she also, you know, is quite knowledgeable on parasites. And, you know, she helped us through meningeal infestation a couple of years ago. So it's that's another one that's out there.
Right.
If you want, you can. I think he posted that in the District 4 group. But I believe if you click on the link,
I believe so, yeah.
It'll take you to the recorded session. So that's another one out there. So. Just a little bit of knowledge and expertise that we all can and use and you know, gain more information from. So, anyway, John, you want to do an outro?
For sure. If you would like me to, buddy, I got you.
I don't have anything else.
If you don't have anything else to add, that is. All right. Well, everybody, again, Happy New Year. I hope everybody's has a much brighter year than last year. And with that, I'm John, and that's Nate. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day. This has been Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.